Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul declares to the church that he's been praying for them. And he said in verse number 14 of this chapter, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able." Remember when we were in the book of Jude, how able God is. The God that is able. And he is able by every stretch of the imagination. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Are you listening to this? "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." We are speaking to you for some time, and I'm grateful that I don't have to put any particular limit on it, but on the reality of the Spirit's work in the modern church. God's good Holy Ghost working in the church today. I think we are missing entirely the power of God for the most part. Now we may begin to inch in on it from time to time just a bit, but we're missing for the most part the real power that honestly belongs to us.
Yes, we are.
It shouldn't be that way.
Right.
The church is the most powerful organism in the world. That includes the Marine Corps, the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Army, the Japanese Army, the Chinese Army, the Russian Army. That includes all of them.
Yes, sir.
Combined, the church is the most powerful organism in the world. I say that because we have the power of God within us.
Yes.
Not out yonder somewhere, but within us. But we're denying that. We're denying the fact that it's present, and we're denying the truth that we can use that power for God's glory. We're in a horrifying time in this country and around the world. And until the church awakens, and if it does, I don't even know that it will. But until the church awakens, this thing is not going to change. Government is not going to change it. The church has to change the government before anything will change. And that means the church has to declare its dependence upon the power that we have in reserve and we're failing to use. There is a massive example of this, and you can understand this. Back in 1855, there were parallel locks built between Lake Superior and Lake Huron. There's a 22-foot fall from Superior to Huron, and there were falls and rapids and so on, and when people would move from one to the other, they had to circumvent these rapids and these falls. And the government came up with an idea of awarding a number thousands and thousands of acres of land to some company that could come up with a way to eliminate that and tie those lakes together. And lo and behold, a company came up with the idea of building locks. And those locks would allow ships to move from one lake to the other. In a matter of hours, it takes to do this. But this would happen, and therefore those two lakes tied together, and commerce could continue without any interruption. In our day, there are better than 7,000 vessels, cargo-carrying vessels, that move through those locks every year. Now, isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
But here's what's more amazing. When the doors of those locks are closed, there is no water from Superior to Huron, and the ships cannot possibly pass. It's sitting there empty with a reservoir of better than 37,000 square miles of water. Are you listening to that? We're not talking about a little spring somewhere, but 37,000 square miles of water standing there just waiting to be used. And a single man throws a lever, and in just moments that lock fills and the doors open and the massive ship, some over 1,000 feet long. Are you hearing me? We're not talking about little toy boats right now. You're not going to ski behind this boy, huh? Not if you got good sense anyway. Over 1,000 feet long moves into that lock. And then the doors are closed again and the water's let in from the other side. And lo and behold, it moves on through the locks and commerce continues. Now listen carefully. That lock sits there empty. All the potential is waiting. But nothing happens until the lever is pulled. And now all of that power that's in reserve waiting there moves quickly into that lock. Listen to me. The church is sitting empty tonight. God help us pull the handle. Somebody pull the handle so the power of God will move upon us again and the church will know what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost power of God move within us and satisfy both the longing of our hearts but draw us closer to Jesus. Calvary is a one-time experience. Pentecost is a one-time experience. We do not for a moment doubt the ability and the efficiency or the efficacious power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, do we? Then why? I ask you, why do we linger somewhere in the hallway of doubt, wondering why the Holy Ghost isn't working in our hearts? Because Pentecost and Calvary are two events that God sent to this earth. And the power of the church lurks there in this Pentecost experience. One time, but that power is available tonight because He came.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Now when Paul says, and I want you to look back at verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now listen to me carefully. This word dwell, the Greek word has two meanings. The first meaning is down, meaning come down. The second meaning is home. Let's do it like this. That Christ may dwell in your heart. That Christ may be at home in your heart. Does that make sense? You see, somewhere, somebody got us off the track and got us to thinking that salvation is the experience and that's it. We always look back to that time when, I hear this all the time, when I went down front. My Lord help us, if that's all you have, I went down front. No. But even when we know the salvation of the Lord, our testimony always goes back to there and we find nothing of any power beyond that point. Why are we not as well, not only depending upon Calvary, but why are we not as well depending upon the Holy Ghost power to fill us, that Christ may dwell, that Christ may be at home in our hearts? I wonder, really, I mean this, I wonder if Christ would actually be at home in our hearts. Oftentimes, we're guilty of taking vessels that are not necessarily clean and putting things in it that are clean. And we expect everything to be fine, but it's not that way. Now we've had, this makes the fourth night we've had this study. It's time for some of us to begin to realize that the reason the power of Christ. Now, are you listening to me? I'm not talking about some thing that is abstract and thousands of miles away. I'm talking about the power of Christ within these vessels of clay. Now, I'm not for a moment going to tell you that we can do the miracles that the disciples did, because that was for a season. But I'm going to tell you that we can have the same power they had and the same joy they had in the face of conflict. They looked upward instead of outward. We can have the same kind of joy on a consistent basis, because the Holy Ghost is manifesting the power of Christ within us. Somebody pull the lever. God help us in America today. Somebody pull the lever. I might want to just say, who will pull the lever? A number of years ago, there was a committee meeting for an evangelistic crusade, and they were there to choose the evangelist. Numbers of names were given. And finally a gentleman stood to his feet and said, "Sirs, I would put the name of D.L. Moody before you as a consideration." One of the other gentlemen stood and said, "Sir, Mr. Moody does not have a monopoly on the Holy Ghost." Silent for a moment, and the man that nominated Mr. Moody said, "No, sir, but the Holy Ghost has a monopoly on him." Oh, Lord God, let it be so in our hearts. Oh, my God, let it be so that the Holy Ghost has a monopoly on us. We are so weak within ourselves, but we are so powerful in the Holy Ghost. Religious systems have been invented by hell to discredit the power of the Spirit of God. And they've done a good job of it. They've scared Bible believers into being meek and hiding away and keeping our belief in our bosom, so to speak. I think it's time that we awaken. I think it's time that we come alive. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, one of the imperial generals said, "I'm fearful that we have awakened a sleeping giant." May I say to you tonight, God help us. May the world realize that in all the hell that's going on, they've awakened a sleeping giant.
Yes.
The church come alive.
Yes,
for the glory of God. We've sat around long enough. My days have already been spent for the most part. I don't know. I've already passed my promised time. I'm living on credit tonight. Some of you the same way. We don't know when our time will come. But God help us while we're still here. At least to try to find the handle. If we can't get to it, maybe by the grace of God, somebody in the next generation will get there, and the power of God will be loosed across this nation in churches, and America will once again be a bastion for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great that you'd walk down the street and the conversation wouldn't be baseball, wouldn't even be politics, but the conversation would be Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm finding more and more that the name Jesus is a strange name in this world. I mentioned to a lady just yesterday, I was checking out at Lowe's. She said, "How you doing today?" I said, "I'm so saved, it's pitiful." She kind of looked at me strange, and I said, "Do you know what I'm talking about?" She said, "Well, I think so." I said, "Do you know my Jesus?" She just dropped her head. Can I tell you something? The name Jesus is a strange name. It ought to be the most common name named among men today. And especially in America. Believe it or not, the gospel is still being preached in this country. Truth is still being broadcast. But I'm fearful the time of hearing, the famine of hearing, is upon us. But will you hear? I've said this already in this study. If but this group, can you imagine? Now there's some controversy, and don't come up here and argue with me about this tonight. I've studied it through, and I know it's so. There wasn't 120 in the upper room. There was 12 in the upper room. It was the disciples. That is another occasion entirely. Let's read the book. Don't come talk to me. I've had this out with more idiots than's ever been marked, I think. Just read the book. Take time to read the book. These disciples were filled with the power of God. Are you listening to me? That's 2,000 years ago. 12 filled with the power of God. And look what's happened from that 12 being filled with the power of God. This number could work miracles. I'm telling you that this number could turn Bristol upside down. This number could turn the state of Tennessee upside down. This number could turn the Southeast upside down. And spread all across this nation and around the world from a little hamlet named Bristol, Tennessee. Glory! Why? Because somebody found the handle. Oh, God help us. God help us to take advantage of the power that is actually ours. We don't have to ask God for it. You see, here's another error that's come along the way. We don't have to ask Him for it. I told you a while ago, Calvary's one time. Pentecost is one time. The power of that is still present tonight. All we must do is find the handle. And I might tell you that the handle, for the most part, it's just submissiveness on our behalf. Do you know, in most of our singing, I'm trying to recall a little song we sang as children. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I don't even know why we sang that. Because in reality, when we sing it, we are denying that He's already present with us. You see, we're not getting the picture. For some reason, it's just not coming home to us. He is within us. We don't need to sing and pray for Him to come. We need simply to pray, God in heaven, break my will. Bring me to submission so the good Holy Ghost can take hold of my being and use me. What kind of vessel could you be for the glory of God? Now I'm looking at faces tonight, and for the most part, most of us have passed the flower of our age. Do you know God? God could care less what age you are, what stage of life you exist at this moment. That makes no difference to the power of God. God outstrips age. God outstrips knowledge. I told you last week He outstrips ignorance. That means God outstrips all of those things. Because you see, we're not dependent upon us. We're dependent upon Him. Oh, would to God that truth would roll in on us and we'd realize, hey, this is not my strength. I've stepped in the pulpit, my wife will declare it so. I've stepped in the pulpit time and time again, so sick I couldn't even think. And for 45 minutes or an hour, I was as well as I'd ever been in my life. Preach like a holy roller, go lay down and almost die. But I didn't have a pain. I didn't have the first little bit of sickness whatsoever while I was preaching. You know why? Because it's not in the power and the strength of this old flesh. It's in the power of the Holy Ghost of God Almighty. The filling of the Spirit of God is an act of God. Not an act of man, but an act of God. I'm telling you, the potential is laying there. And may I say this to you, in case you get your imagination limited a bit, the power of the Holy Ghost far outstrips the power of Lake Superior. The power of the Holy Ghost outstrips the hydrogen bomb. Long since. I mean, when He can move upon the face of the deep and things begin to happen that outstrips our imagination. And here we are walking around on it and enjoying the beauty of it because He brooded over. Darkness went away. Light came on the scene. Form took place. Life began to come out of chaos. Order and action, because the Holy Ghost had brooded over this old globe. Once again, wouldn't it be great if He'd just come and brood over this outfit tonight to cheer? Just brood over Larry Montgomery, Gary Montgomery, all you folks that are present tonight. If He'd just brood over and that fruit of the Holy Spirit begin to come alive in our hearts, something begin to take place where all that darkness has been, light begins to show itself, and the praise of God, all the things within us begin to reach toward heaven again instead of reaching out here. God help us to find the lever. God help us to find the lever. Paul said, I've prayed that Christ would dwell in. But we're not dealing with some abstract spirit that is just a figment of someone's imagination. Paul puts it properly when he says that Christ may dwell in you. You see, the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ dwells in me. Now here's the difference. He was not limited by the lack of faith in Christ. But there's where the limits come, where we're concerned. Because we have trained ourselves to deal with the natural rather than the supernatural. It bothers me that the church is fearful of the supernatural But you'll go home and watch these crazy television programs that don't make a lick of sense in the world. I mean, you've got to be an idiot to even watch them to start off with. And there you get tied up in these supernatural, demonic garbage that'll never do you any good. Steal your spirituality. Drain you of anything godly. And we're set in the house of God and deny the supernatural. Do you understand again that that is the doctrine of Balaam? Denying the supernatural. Listen, I live in the supernatural. You live in the supernatural because you're the child of God. The natural world is just where we have to associate because these bodies. But Sister Ann, one of these days, God's going to strip us out of these bodies. Hallelujah. And we'll really know what the supernatural is. But tonight we can only imagine. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. We can't delve into this thing because of these bodies. But I want you to know everything God does is supernatural. When God saves a soul, it's a supernatural act of the Holy Ghost of God. When God gives us a witness, it's a supernatural act of the Holy Ghost. Let me make another statement before we leave here tonight. I was delving in my mind this afternoon with this thought. We call this the dispensation of the church, or the dispensation of grace. I think better so that we could call it the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. He is in charge. He's the spiritual head, magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ on every hand. But this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, and we're denying Him. Are you listening to me? We're denying Him His subjects. Under the dispensation of the law, people dealt in fear, literally dwelt in fear. Under the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, we are moved by love. Glory to God. I've used this example several times. Pardon me, sweetheart, for doing it again. But Ginger and I hadn't been married long. This was back in the 60s. Don't laugh. Back in the 60s, and I know she looks like she's 45, and I look more like I'm in my 30s, but nonetheless, we hadn't been married long, and I came home. I'd had a rough day with Uncle Sam, and I came home to hopefully something to eat and just relax for a while. And I walked in, no supper. And I said, "What are we having for supper?" She said, "I'm not fixing supper tonight." I said, "Oh." I said, "I think you need to fix us something, D." She just stood there. In my gentle manner, I walked over and picked her up. Walked her to the kitchen and I set her down. And I said, "Don't come out of this room till you have me something to eat." I went back in the living room, sat down. In a few minutes, she stuck her pretty little head around the corner, Brother Gary, and she said, "I'm not fixing this because I love you. I'm fixing this because I'm scared of you." I didn't really care at that time.
Same result.
But now, wait a minute. I never have to do that now. Never have to do that. Matter of fact, a few years ago, I asked her, I said, "Sweetheart," and I'd used this illustration in a sermon, and a bit after that I asked her, I said, "Sweetheart, why do you fix now? Why do you do what you do now?" She said, "Because I love you."
Sure. Yeah. Yes.
Do you know our Lord? He doesn't desire fear. but our love.
Yes.
And the work of the Holy Ghost in our hearts is to kindle that love toward Him. I've said time and time again, our prayer is nothing in the world if we're really praying, but the Holy Ghost making love to Jesus. This is the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. And we're denying Him subjection. We're denying Him the raw materials that are necessary to build the church. Brother Gary, you know this is so. But I used to go into churches. Even when I was pastoring, I was doing as many as 30, 35 meetings a year, maybe more. And I'd go into churches and the house be full of young people. Choir be full of young people. But I travel across this country today, church after church. When I get into one where there's young people, I never fail to say, thank God. Thank God the Holy Ghost is reproducing in this place. But we're seeing a decline big time in young people coming into the church today. Say, well, Brother Lai, why is that so? Well, it's so because we are not supplying the raw materials. You see, our willingness is the raw material that the Holy Ghost uses to perform the work. I might go a step further and say this. The Holy Ghost is a midwife. It's He who births the children into the church.
Amen.
And without Him, there is no new births. Now, are you listening to what I'm saying? Please, please listen to this. Without Him, there is no new births. I don't care how articulate the preacher is. I don't care. He can have more degrees than a Fahrenheit thermometer and still be as dry as cracker juice because he knows not the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost isn't in the pulpit, the Holy Ghost will not be in the pews.
Amen.
What my brother said this morning is so true. When he's talking about that young preacher. I tell you, without the Holy Ghost, let me tell you how God and when God filled me the Holy Ghost. I was in seminary. We'd had a great day in seminary. I mean, it had just been at the top. And I was driving home, and I just felt so empty. I drove into my office and sat there in the car for a few moments, and we were doing some building out back, and there was a sand pile back there. I was just walking around trying to pray. I couldn't pray. I knew there was a void. Just wasn't there. The next thing I know, Sister Ann, I'm laying in that sand pile. Saying, God, don't want to be barren. Don't want to be sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Fill me with your Spirit. Empower me to do what you've called me to do. Right there in that sand pile that day, my life changed. The power of God came on the scene. And I can say to you tonight, I've never walked in the pulpit since. that he wasn't there in power.
Amen.
I've never bowed my head to pray. What I didn't know, something was happening in another world. Never gone through a circumstance in life. Sometimes it's taken me a few minutes to figure it out. But I've never gone through a circumstance in life that the Holy Ghost wasn't in charge of the circumstance. I could tell you some things tonight you wouldn't believe. As a matter of fact, it's hard for me to believe. But the Holy Ghost, in his overshadowing power, was in control of the circumstance, whatever it was. Satan tried to destroy me more than once in Vietnam. Tried to destroy me several times since then. But the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. I'm just telling you that when your life is controlled from another world, you're another person. And I'll just go ahead and tell you something else. Folks will know it too. You don't have to put something on your lapel and say, I'm a Christian. Most people who wear that mess on their lapel wouldn't know Christ from a jackrabbit. Listen, when somebody dwells inside you, people know it. The world knows it. The saints know it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Somebody find a handle. God in heaven, help us to find a handle in our own lives.
Yes, Lord.
That the power from another world rush into our being. The word filled is the word controlled. Oh, that God would control our lives.